Good morning. Welcome to Main Street. And I hope you enjoyed your Independence Day celebrations yesterday. Let us prepare our hearts for worship by singing our hymn of preparation from the bulletin, please. There are two announcements in your bulletin that I want to call your attention to. The first one, if you note, is that the church office will be closed tomorrow in celebration of the 4th of July holiday. The next announcement right behind that is that there's going to be fishing at the Crook's house this Wednesday night. You don't have to bring your bait. They're supposed to have bait, but you got to bring your tackle. Hot dogs and fishing, family fun at the Crook's house this Wednesday night. Please note that in your bulletin. Also in the newsletter, and there will not be a newsletter this week, but in the newsletter you will notice that we're really trying to get some money for the food pantry, and one of the ways we're doing that is the Mission's Fresh Food Produce Market. So please check out what's available in the table outside the fellowship hall and purchase some fresh vegetables for your use. And if there's nothing there that you particularly need, you can always leave a donation. We will take a donation even if you don't have food that you particularly want. You've got all the tomatoes in your yard you want. You don't need any more. Leave a donation, okay? And also, please register your attendance by passing the pad up and down the pew and see who's sitting there next to you. I know we have some visitors because I can spot some on the front row right over here. So let us know when you're here as a visitor, and please speak to each other. Now, would you please notice in your bulletin, the first hymn is listed as 398. That's a typo, and we need to begin our worship with singing hymn 698. After, of course, we have the call to worship. Thank you.
Will all who are able please stand and join in this morning's call to worship. Great is our God and greatly to be praised. Worship the one whose grace covers all our needs. Ponder God's steadfast love in the temple. Practice sharing that love while we are together. We are here to be equipped for the journey of life. We have gathered that our daily witness might be strengthened.
Be seated, and I invite you to join me in the invocation. God of faithful elders and lowly followers, our sure defense and faithful guide, we invoke your presence among us in this time of worship. Your name is proclaimed through all the earth. And by your hand we are made victorious over the unclean spirits and unbeliefs that stalk our paths. When we ponder your greatness, we are filled with awe. When we come to your holy mountain, we are amazed. Who are we to approach your majesty? How can we fulfill the covenant you offer us? Come, Spirit of truth, to show us the way. Amen. I invite our adults and youth forward for the commissioning to send them forth to the Salkehatchie and the Bamberg camp where our folks will be going this next week. Sisters and brothers of the household of God, today we recognize the ministry of these persons and consecrate them to their mission work at the Bamberg Camp and Salkehatchie Summer Service, an outreach ministry of the United Methodist Church. All who take upon themselves the name of Christ are called into ministry filled with love and service by the example of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. As these members of our church family minister to others, we pray the blessings of God and this congregation to go with them, and that these same blessings may rest upon the families in whose homes they will work. Sarah Adams, Josie Adams, Alex Bishop, Kevin Bishop, Sarah Kaysen, Heather Faulkner, Pam Faulkner, Kathy Kelly, Jim Kelly, Jessica Morris, Nick Nichols, Catherine Redfern, Morgan Riddle, Wesley Runyon, Seeley Shelley, Greg Shelley, Lisa Smith, Mary Lyle Smith, Amelia Stockman, Miranda Stockman, Colby Tharp, Debbie Tharp, Emily Wiedemann, and Lane Wiedemann. On behalf of our church family, I commend you to the work of Salkehatchie, and we pledge to you our prayers to strengthen and to protect you as you seek to serve Christ through the ministry called Salkehatchie. Congregation, we recognize you as ambassadors of this church and of Christ as you minister to the families served by the Bamberg Camp. We dedicate you to service in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Through our prayers, we will be united with you. May God richly bless your labors and your lives. Let us pray. Gracious God, look upon these persons with favor as we send them forth on Saturday. Be present with them, provide their every need, and pour your blessings upon them. Strengthen us all in our Christian walk that we may always be in service to you and others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Will you please be seated.
The Old Testament reading for today is 2 Samuel chapter 5, verses 1 through 5 and 9 through 10. You can find this passage on pages 346 and 347 in the Old Testament section of your pew Bible. In this lesson, David seals the terms of his rule over the tribes of all Israel in a covenant ceremony at Hebron, and 7 years later conquers Jerusalem and moves his throne there. Listen now for God's word to us. Then all the tribes of Israel came to David at Hebron and said, "Look, we are your bone and flesh. For some time, while Saul was king over us, it was you who led us out of Israel and brought it in. The Lord said to you, 'It is you who shall be shepherd of my people Israel, you who shall be ruler over Israel.' So all the elders of Israel came to the king at Hebron, and King David made a covenant with them at Hebron before the Lord, and they anointed David king over Israel. David was 30 years old when he started to reign, and he reigned 40 years. At Hebron, he reigned over Judah 7 years and 6 months, and at Jerusalem, he reigned over all Israel and Judah 33 years. David occupied the stronghold and named it the City of David. David built the city all around from the Milo inward, and David became greater and greater, for the Lord, the God of hosts, was with him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
The epistle reading for today is from Paul's second letter to the church at Corinth, chapter 12, verses 2 through 10. You can find this passage on page 226 in the New Testament section of the Pew Bible. Rather than valuing impressive physical appearance or proving his merit through great achievement, Paul found his worth in being a transparent vessel through which God's purpose could be seen and others could encounter and learn to trust the grace of God. Listen again to God's word to us. I know a person in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that such a person, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know, God knows, was caught up into paradise and heard things that are not to be told, that no mortal is permitted to repeat. On behalf of such a one, I will boast, but on my own behalf, I will not boast, except of my weaknesses. But if I wish to boast, I will not be a fool, for I will be speaking the truth. But I refrain from it, so that no one may think better of me than what is seen in me or heard from me, even considering the exceptional character of the revelations. Therefore, to keep me from being too elated, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, to keep me from being too elated. 3 times I appealed to the Lord about this, that it would leave me. But he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness. So I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities for the sake of Christ. For whenever I am weak, then I am strong." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
As we come to our prayer time, I do want to, first of all, thank everyone who helped make the Greenwood Salkehatchie Camp a success. I want to thank the Main Street Church for hosting it. All of you ladder people who brought them, more ladders than we could, over 30, and they are out there now with your names on them and also a little additional paint. I hope that that's going to be okay. So pick those up when you can. I want to thank the high school for the showers. Otherwise, it would have been unbearable around here by about Tuesday with 79 guests unshowered. Everyone, I will not leave anyone out, so just thank everyone who helped make that a success, a tremendous success. Add to your prayer list Hazel Bennett, who's recovering from rotator cuff surgery this past week, and your own private concerns during our time of silent prayer. Let us pray. Holy Father, living Lord and guiding Spirit, we thank you for the freedom we enjoy. Guide us to use it for things worthy and pleasing to you. We pray for the world and what we have made of it, for our nation, and we pray as we sing that you mend our every flaw. Lord, we pray for peace and safety in Iraq as they struggle to grow a new democracy. We pray for our servicemen and women who struggle daily to represent the best of this country in the face of danger and threat. We pray for the diplomats who struggle to resolve ancient and new conflicts. We pray for the families who seek to protect their children from harm. We pray for the children who are watching and living in violence and terror. We pray in the economic uncertainties for those who have lost jobs and looking for jobs and seek your guidance to the next step in their lives. Help us be mindful that we are brothers and sisters in Christ, and give us ways through your Spirit to help one another. Lord, we pray especially for the families that were touched by murder and grief in the Gaffney and Spartanburg area. We pray that you guide the officials to apprehend the culprit. And we lift up now our private prayers for the concerns that we lift only before you, for the power to forgive and to love as Christ has forgiven and loved us, and for guidance in each of our lives. Lord, now hear our silent prayers. Lord, hear our prayers, for we pray them in the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we pray as he taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. Now let us continue our worship through the giving of our tithes, our offerings, and our special gifts.
The earth is yours and the fullness thereof. We thank you for entrusting unto us enough resources to meet our needs and for every good cause. We pray your blessings upon these tithes, these returns into your church. Bless them to continue the ministry of your Son, Jesus Christ, and to build your kingdom. Amen.
Please be seated, and we invite the children forward for the children's message.
July the 5th is not a real big attendance Sunday around here, it looks like, but we do have a few kids and we're grateful that you're here. I'm going to ask you some questions, which is always scary, so be careful how you answer for me. Now, we all build our lives upon some sort of foundation. I have this here because I want to quote something. I'll make sure I have it right. Some people build their lives around the foundation of, I just want people to like me. And they do everything they do to make people like them. Some build their lives upon a foundation of to make people think they're smart. And they build everything in their lives around that foundation, smart. And some people build their lives around the foundation of I'm pretty. And they spend a whole lot of time and money being pretty. That's the one I chose. I got some eye rolling up here. Y'all didn't see it, but I did. Well, I want to tell you, yesterday was, as near as I can figure, I think the 233rd birthday of our country, counting from the Declaration of Independence. And let me share with you the foundation upon which this country was born, because when we declared independence from England, we were born as a new nation. The whole country is based on this foundation. We hold these truths to be self-evident. That means what you're about to hear, everybody can see, is just true. Not arguable, it's just self-evidently true. That all men are created equal, and that they are endowed by their Creator. Who would the Creator be? Who's that? God. When a preacher asks a question at a children's sermon, the answer is almost always God, right? Endowed by their Creator. Now see, this is the birth of our nation. These truths are self-evident, that all men are created equal and endowed by their Creator, that's God, this is the birthday statement of our country, certain inalienable rights. And this isn't all of them, but it says among them are life, and that makes sense. That's, you know, you can't have many rights at all if you're not alive, so life. Liberty. Do you know what liberty is? Usually we say that in a word that starts with F. Freedom, right. Liberty, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. So these are the rights endowed by our Creator that our country was founded upon. This is part of, that's the line from the Declaration of Independence. The foundation of the country. Life is a right endowed by our Creator. Liberty, a right endowed by our Creator, and the pursuit of happiness. Now, according to our Christian faith, and not every citizen of our country has Christian faith, but according to our Christian faith, God wants us to use our freedom to do things that are pleasing to God. And if we wanted to figure out what a life that was pleasing to God looked like, whose life would we think about? Whose life would we think about? A life that was pleasing to God, it would be in the Gospels. And this is the other answer to the question that preachers ask. If it's not God, who am I talking? Starts with a J. Jesus, right, you got it. Yes. So a life that was pleasing to God, the proper use of freedom, is a life that shows service to God. And Jesus said, you want to live a life pleasing to God, you love God with your whole heart, mind, and soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. He said, all the law and all the prophets, that's 80% of your Bible, boils down to that. So that's a foundation and the way that we, as Christians, are supposed to live our lives, to use our freedom to live like Jesus lived.
We need help doing that, don't we? Right? So we pray to God for that help. I'm going to pray and let y'all say amen. Lord, help us to live as Jesus lived. You've given us a place to live where we have freedom. Now give us the influence of your Spirit that we might use that freedom to share the love of Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
Our gospel lesson is from the Gospel of Mark, the 6th chapter, the first 13 verses. I'll be focusing in my sermon on the part about how he sent out his disciples. He left that place and came to his hometown, and his disciples followed him. On the Sabbath he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astounded. They said, "Where did this man get all this? What is this wisdom that has been given to him? What deeds of power are being done by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, and the brother of James, and Joseph, and Judas, and Simon, and are not his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. Then Jesus said to them, "Prophets are not without honor, except in their hometown, and among their own kin, and in their own house. And he could do no deed of power there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and cured them. And he was amazed at their unbelief. Then he went about among the villages teaching. He called the 12 and began to send them out two by two, and gave them authority over the unclean spirits. He ordered them to take nothing for their journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not to put on two tunics. He said to them, "Wherever you enter a house, stay there until you leave the place. If any place will not welcome you and they refuse to hear you as you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them." So they went out and proclaimed that all should repent. They cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and cured them. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Please be seated. Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of every heart be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. And as I said earlier, counting from the Declaration of Independence, yesterday I believe we were 233 years old as a nation. And you know, that is not very old for a nation. And yet we are unique among nations because of the way and the principles upon which we are founded. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, and that among these are life and liberty and the pursuit of happiness. That is how we began, and that is how the Declaration of Independence begins. Liberty, or freedom, is not mentioned very much anymore. We are jumping from crisis to crisis to crisis, and you just do not hear the word freedom very much anymore. And that concerns me, because freedom does tend to get gobbled up in a crisis, and we have had one after another. Right now, we are weary of bad news, and I think most of us are waiting, simply waiting for things to get back to normal. And I am not sure that we can get back to normal. As far as the economy and money and stuff, we just may have to do with less. But less money and less stuff does not necessarily mean less freedom and less happiness. I read about an encounter that contemporary Christian singer Scott Wesley Brown had years ago in the old Soviet Union. He was singing in a little bitty poor church, concrete floor, not any decorations at all. And he said after he sang, an older lady from the congregation came up to him and thanked him. And after she found out that he was from the United States, she said, through the translator, "It must be hard to be a Christian there." And then she walked away. Brown really didn't understand what she meant. On the way home, his interpreter explained what the woman meant. Through the interpreter, she said, "She knows that in the United States you are blessed with wealth, you have fast food restaurants and stylish clothing and luxurious cars and homes and so many things. But here, all the people have is their faith in Jesus. She knows that it is harder for people who have it easy to put their faith in God. They tend to put faith in things. And that is why she believes it must be hard to be a Christian in the U.S. I think it's getting easier. Apparently, from reading the gospel today, Jesus thought it was perfectly possible to pursue happiness of serving God and being a disciple with no stuff at all. Did you notice that? I hope that's not what Jesus wants from me, quite honestly, but let's take a look at the way that Jesus sent out some of his first disciples. First of all, he sent them out in pairs, two by two, so that one could look out for the other, and one could feel supported by the other, and one could hold the other accountable to what their mission, their purpose was. Jesus sent them out with nothing. No money, no stuff, no backpack, and nothing to put in it. It kind of makes me feel like a whiner when I say my retirement plan has lost 25% of its value. These disciples might say to me, "Retirement plan? What do you mean, retirement plan? We didn't have a backpack or a water bottle or a single penny when we went out. What are you complaining about?" Jesus did not even allow them, if you read it carefully, to take an extra set or a change of clothes, just one tunic. We saw some people last week in the Salkehatchie program who did have certain needs, they did, but we never saw the sort of poverty that Jesus imposed upon his first disciples. He sent them out with nothing. Nothing. Nothing but the gospel message that sin and death were being overcome by the kingdom of God. And His Son, the Savior, Jesus Christ, through Him was coming new life. And forgiveness was coming. And eternal security was coming. And real freedom to know and serve God was coming. And it had nothing to do with money or wealth or savings or clothes or stuff. Repent and believe. Repent, turn to God and believe was their message. But you know, decades of prosperity preachers on TV and radio have filtered into our brain, whether we know it or not, and they have made this part of the gospel a little bit jarring, even shocking to hear. Without saying so, we tend to think that money is a blessing and poverty just might be a curse. Without saying so, without ever verbalizing it, the word blessing is often, not always, but often, by blessing, we mean money and stuff. Jesus, who is the Word of God made flesh, Jesus, who is the truth and life of God made flesh, Jesus, who has the words of life that make us free, sent His disciples out preaching without a dime, without a change of clothes, with only faith and a message that the kingdom of God was coming. Real freedom was what they preached. Complete and utter poverty was the way that Jesus sent them out. And you know, this is an uncomfortable thing for me to notice about Jesus. Why would He send His disciples out this way? Completely dependent upon whatever people might give them along the way or whatever they might find along the road to eat or to drink. Jesus made them poor and dependent, apparently, in order to set them free to serve. And that is tough. That's a lesson that most of us would rather not learn. All I can think about is the blessing that Jesus gave upon the poor in Beatitudes in the Gospel of Luke. He said, and He lifted up His eyes on His disciples, and He said, blessed are you poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. And you remember the rich young ruler whom Jesus told to sell all that he had and give it to the poor and then come follow me? And the way Jesus lifted up that widow with the widow's mite when she gave all that she had, even though it was just a couple of pennies, the widow gave all she had and she had left only her trust in God to make it through the next day. I don't know. But this Bible of ours paints an uncomfortable picture of faith and trust and freedom to serve God better when our resources and our money and our stuff run out. I'm not sure I want to notice that, but it's in there. It reminds me of what the former slave Harriet Tubman said. She once said, I freed thousands of slaves, and I could have freed thousands more if they had only known that they were slaves. In the current economic uncertainty, we may paradoxically be freed from the illusion that money can save us. It may wake us up from what we tried to do, and that is be dependent upon wealth, and send us back to where we should be, our dependence upon God as a firm foundation. In the book Resident Aliens, Will Willimon called the American understanding of freedom, he said it was the tyranny of our own desires. We can quickly get addicted to wanting and getting and wanting and getting, but surely there is more to freedom than that. Generations have not fought for just wanting and getting. As I've said, I don't like today's scripture any better than you like hearing it, but over and over, wealth seems to get in the way of true freedom, and poverty and dependence upon God seems to make for a people who are more able to serve God instead of just building bigger barns to hold our stuff. And that is a part of giving to the church as an act of faith that we often miss. Giving is not to pay bills. It's not to make budget. Giving is showing I am not dependent upon my wealth to be happy or secure. And I will give more than I can afford. I will give first fruits and then some. I will give until it hurts and then some. I will give as an act of faith to prove that I know that my life does not consist of the abundance of things. You remember when Jesus said to the man who wanted him to settle an inheritance dispute, Jesus said, "Take heed and beware all covetousness," because a man's life does not consist, Jesus said, a man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. But you know, maybe without saying so, we get that confused. We sometimes do rank a man's life or a woman's life by the abundance of possessions. But by our faith, we know that our lives are more than just stuff. I can prove that I am free from the love of money by giving away beyond the point where it hurts. Freedom. It's a funny thing. Years ago, Kris Kristofferson wrote the old song, "I'm Showing My Age." Mary Lynn will remember it. The Janis Joplin made very famous "Me and Bobby McGee." She said freedom was just another word she sang for nothing left to lose. And I don't know if that's, you know, absolutely free, absolutely a true statement, that freedom's just another word for nothing left to lose. But it does seem to resonate with the way Jesus sent out his disciples, free from any earthly attachment or status or wealth, and completely dependent upon daily prayer and faith and trust in God. We often run into that sort of faith and that kind of daily specific prayer among the people whose homes we worked on, the 9 homes we worked on last week in Salkehatchie. They matter-of-factly, many of them said that we were the answer to their prayers. They very matter-of-factly believed that we had been sent there by God as an answer to years and years and years of prayer. We, most of us, don't need to pray for that kind of help. We save, we borrow, we purchase, and we buy the repairs, and we call that repairman back if things aren't perfect. But in Salkehatchie, those folks, they tend to be grateful even if we do far less than perfect. Now, I don't wish that kind of life upon us, but I do wonder if having a world with less money and less affluence might promote more faith, more dependence upon God and each other. Sometimes money and stuff builds walls, and it's sometimes walls that we want. Separation that we work for and enjoy. So we can't see certain neighborhoods, so we feel safe and distinct from certain others. We don't verbalize it, but I think it is true. Jesus sent out his first disciples with no badges of affluence, no extra stuff, but in their hearts we hear their joy and we see their overflowing faith and trust. And when you think about it, we, even this church, are the result of their efforts and their preaching and their evangelism, completely unencumbered by money or stuff or even a change of clothes. It makes me reevaluate what freedom means and what faith means and what trust in God means. I believe, as the founders did, that it is God who gives the rights of life and liberty and the pursuit of happiness. The rights come from God. And then faith becomes an option when people are free to choose faith and turn to God. And that's all repent ever meant, return to God. But this pursuit of happiness is a deeper thing than just money and stuff and bigger barns. As Christians, we know that. The happiness and freedom deep down in our souls is about freedom from the constantly changing fashions and status and such in the world. Jesus stripped all the trappings of fashion and status and wealth from his disciples before he sent them out. They were stripped of all but the word, their faith and trust in God. And somehow, even without pensions or savings or visible means of support, somehow they felt free. And even though they left families behind and careers behind, they felt free and even happy and positive and joyful. Joyful and positive enough to draw a crowd and to convince a few and to form some churches and spread the same word down through the generations until it got here to Greenwood and built this place. Freedom in Christ. Freedom from the love of things. A Savior who says that a man and a woman's life does not consist of the abundance of wealth, when all around us people say the precise opposite. Yes, we are free people in the United States. What to do with the freedom is the question. The Apostle Paul said, "Do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love." Use your freedom to serve. Use your freedom to share with others where you get that sense of joy and inner peace from God in Christ. The first disciples used their freedom to serve and to evangelize, and they found happiness and fulfillment even with no possessions. I have read about a few people who say in some interviews and news stories that after having lost their jobs, their careers, they said, "Thank God, I didn't have the courage to quit, but now I'm free to find something else." Now, I am not making light of the loss of jobs, and that's hit our congregation too. I'm just observing that in moments where we lose the illusion that we are in control, we are thrown into an open future and into a mode of faith where we take seriously that God is in control. When our foundations in an earthly sense crumble, then we have nowhere to turn except to God. I do, and I encourage us all to pray for the unemployed and to pray for the economy, and I pray for continuing freedom in spite of crisis after crisis. I pray that somehow, some way, faith and trust and God grow in the midst of the crisis. And true freedom to serve God grows in the midst of things uncertain as we await to find that money and stuff and status cannot be trusted to build true happiness upon. We are being thrown into the arms of God. And no matter how that happens, it is a good thing when we find ourselves in the arms of God. Use your freedom wisely. Even use uncertain times wisely to come closer to God. Amen. Now, I want to give some instructions. We are going to stand and sing number 696, America the Beautiful. And some of you may not have noticed, but we do invite all veterans and active military to come forward to the chancel rail during the last two verses. And we're going to have several Cub Scouts and Harold Johnson lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance. And I will note to you that we left a word out. After under God is indivisible. We'll remember to say that even though it's not printed. Let us stand and sing together, America the Beautiful.
Thank you.
Now just remain where you are for the benediction, this blessing. We have been blessed by the knowledge of the love of God through Jesus Christ. God loves us. Let us love one another. God has forgiven us. Let us forgive one another. And when we find that these things are difficult, let us pray to God for the power of the Holy Spirit to live a Christ-like life. We have been blessed. Let us be a blessing to others. In Jesus' name, amen.